Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and today we are talking about a pretty full and busy weekend in the UFC world. We have the UFC on Fox 201, which is won't be as big as the last card, which is UFC 200. We don't expect it to be as big as when UFC 101 followed UFC 100. But it will be a very interesting card. So we have the UFC 201. That's on Saturday. We also have Invicta 18, which will actually be tonight, which that's going to be a really, really interesting card, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then the week finishes up with World Series of Fighting, which they have a nice card that's coming up this weekend. So we're going to be covering those fights. We're going to be covering a little bit of UFC news, where, you know, Joe Rogan just got a new contract, which he's going to be sticking around for a little bit. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Mark Hunt. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the sale of the UFC and a brand new television contract, which we'll touch on a little bit more with the UFC. We're going to touch on a little bit about the new face of women's mixed martial arts and how the landscape has changed so much. And we'll be talking about a few other UFC and MMA news. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back, and we're here, and we're going to start talking about the big weekend that is all set to go for the UFC and UFC 201, which is going to be one fantastic card. We have Robbie Lawler against Tyron Woodley, and that is going to be a spectacular fight. Now, everyone that's a UFC fan, everyone's aware of what Robbie Lawler has done. Robbie Lawler is the ultimate fighter. Robbie Lawler will fight anyone at any time. And the thing that makes Robbie Lawler such a great champion, he doesn't avoid anyone. And, you know, no matter how tough the fight gets, the tougher the fight gets, the better Robbie Lawler gets. The later the fight gets, the better Robbie Lawler gets. And with that, we have a champ who has ran off a number of title defenses and has been nothing but a constant professional and taken on all challengers. But he has taken on Tyron Woodley, which is, number one, a co-member of his camp, a guy that is actually very familiar with Robbie Lawler, and a guy who, you know, who has been at the top of the profession for a very long time. He's been overdue a title shot. He's been kind of on the shelf for almost a year as he's been waiting for his title shot. And, you know, he would have fought earlier, but he's had a number of different things that have kind of gone on. From he had his foot a break in his foot, and then he had a big fight scheduled with Johnny Hendricks, in which Johnny Hendricks, right before the fight, they found out that Johnny Hendricks was like 20-something pounds overweight, and that Johnny Hendricks was not going to make weight. The thing about it is that really was a big disappointment for Tyrone Woodley, because, you know, he was expecting to go into this fight and his next fight to be a title defense, but instead he was put on the shelf. One thing that I always give Tyrone Woodley credit for, though, is even though he knew Johnny Hendricks was not going to make weight, he went in, he weighed in, and he showed, listen, I'm a professional. I made weight. I'm ready to fight, so don't punish me. And I always respected that. But this is one of those fights where, and I've talked about this fight when they first made this fight, and Robbie Lawler has taken on all comers, from Carlos Condit, to Johnny Hendricks, Roy McIlroy. He has fought them all, and he has beat them all. This is the fight, though, that could be the most dangerous of them all. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to touch on what I feel are the keys to victory for these two fighters, and then I'm going to give you who I think is going to win. The first is we're going to go with the champ, Robbie Lawler, and what he needs to do to win this fight. Robbie, you know, the first thing is Robbie's always an aggressive guy. He's always pressing the fight. Well, that's exactly what he needs to do. He needs to really press this fight, put a lot of pressure. He needs to cut the ring off, you know, and I mean, he you know, really keep his pressure on him. But he also has to be aware of making sure that he doesn't get taken down to the canvas. His takedown defense needs to be on point. Tyrone Woodley is one of the best wrestlers in all of mixed martial arts. You know, so you do not want to end up in a situation where your Robbie Lawler's on his back. So his takedown defense has to be almost perfect, actually. The next thing, and this is one of the things that has separated Robbie Lawler from everyone else. I had Robbie Lawler losing against Carlos Condit, but he, at the end, he pulled it out. He pulled that fight out by extending the fight to the late rounds to deep water. And then he took over, and that's what closed the gap, and that's what won him the fight against Carlos Condit. This is exactly the same way. He needs to extend Tyrone Woodley into the late rounds, into the fourth and the fifth round, the championship rounds. That's where he needs to go, where in the past, Tyrone has fallen off a lot in those later rounds. So if you can send him to deep water, that's one of the keys that I think would really put Robbie Lawler over the top. You know, and the last thing is, Tyrone really is a very explosive striker. And it's kind of like Rumble Johnson in a way, when I think of like an explosive striker, where out of nowhere, you can get cracked by Tyrone Woodley, and he has such fast hands. He's just speed personified. Fast kicks, fast hands, great footwork. So the last key for Robbie Lawler is to be very careful and not get caught early in the fight. That's where, you know, a shock could happen here. Is if Robbie's pressing the issue, which he needs to do, but if he gets caught, Woodley has the power and the speed to take him out. Now, on the other side, you look around and you say Tyrone Woodley, and most people are going to be taking Robbie Lawler in this fight. But I'm going to talk about the keys that I think could change the balance of power in this division. The first thing is with Tyron Woodley, he has to use his speed. That's the one thing that I think Tyron Woodley has that no one else has faced Robbie Lawler has. He has hand feet speed and very fast kicks. If he can use his speed, use his footwork to find openings on Robbie Lawler, he could make it a long night for Robbie. The next thing is high kicks. Robbie has always been very susceptible to being kicked. And one of the things with Tyron Woodley is he can produce very fast, hard, high kicks, which is something that Robbie has been vulnerable to. So if Tyron Woodley can use his speed and use his kicks, that's two components of the game that will really put him in a really great place. The next thing is to mix it up, using the speed, using the kicks, but then mixing it up and hitting him with as many takedowns as humanly possible. Tyron Woodley is a world-class wrestler, and don't forget this. Actually, and one of the things about Tyron Woodley is this. He's a world-class wrestler, but because his hand speeds and the kicks are so strong and powerful, a lot of times people forget about that. He is a supreme wrestler. If he can take Robbie Lawler to the ground, that would cause a lot of problems for Robbie Lawler. With that being said, I think, and it would also negate a lot of Robbie Lawler's power, because Robbie Lawler has some of the hardest hits, the hardest hands in the business. So by being able to take him to the ground, getting the takedowns, controlling the rounds, that's another big component for Tyron Woodley to pull off a big upset here. Next thing, press, and I've said this for both guys. Both guys need to press the issue here. And for Tyron Woodley, he wants to press because he wants to be able to catch Robbie early. Robbie has had some times when he started off slow. If he can press early, he can catch Robbie Lawler, and he definitely has the power to knock him out. Tyron Woodley has the power to knock anyone out. So by pressing the issue early is a big key for Tyron Woodley. But with that being said, the last factor is this. Tyron Woodley needs to press early, but he needs to pace himself. Pacing is the key for him later in the rounds. He is one of the most dangerous guys in that first two rounds, even the beginning of the third round. But as the fight goes on and you start extending to them late rounds, there's been numerous times where you look at Tyron Woodley, and that's where he has suffered the most, is when he gasses out, where he doesn't have the energy or the stamina to take you to handle that deep water in that late rounds. If he can pace himself and be able to be a factor in the late rounds, he still has a shot. With my take, when you look at the keys to victory and you look at who do you think is going to win this fight, man, this could be one of those fights where, you know, Robbie Lawler could end up in three fights in a row that are like fight of the year candidates, because this is one of those fights that I would definitely look at and say, this is a potential fight of the year kind of fight. With that being said, I am actually taking the upset here. I am taking Tyron Woodley to upset Robbie Lawler, which I think a lot of people would be very surprised about. But I have Tyron Woodley winning with a second round knockout. I think Lawler starts a little slow. Tyron Woodley is that guy where, you know, if you slip up with him, he can finish you. And so I have that as the biggest factor right there. Tyron Woodley's hungry. Tyron Woodley's fresh. And Tyron Woodley has been concentrating on this fight for a long time, and he's very familiar with Robbie Lawler. And that's why I have Tyrone Willie winning, for so that we would have a brand new champion. I know a lot of you guys will kind of disagree with me on this one, but that is my take for that for the main event there. Now, there are some other fights that are going to be on this card, and one of the fights that I'm really looking forward to is actually the co-main event on this card here, and that's Rose Namajunas. And you know, Rose is one of those fighters who has, you know, has just been, she's come on the scene ever since the Ultimate Fighter, where she was a runner-up, where she fought for the title, for the strawweight title, but she ended up losing Carla Esparza. And since then, I think this loss actually made her a better fighter. She has gone through, she has just been, you know, on a tear as of late, stopping Paige VanZant, which is in her, and one of the fights that everyone thought she was going to lose. She has been nothing but a hard-working, constant professional. And she's actually fighting Carolyn Kowalski. And Carolyn's actually another fighter who's, she's 9-0. Everyone they've put in front of her, she's taken them down. She's been the underdog in a number of fights, and she keeps winning. This is a fight where these two ladies here, the winner of this fight should be the first in line to take on the strawweight champion, which is Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And, you know, so this is a really important fight. Both of these ladies know if they get through this fight, they are right in line for a title shot. So this is a really important fight. And then I look at things and I say, who do I think is going to win? You know, I look at Carolyn and I watch her fight, and I'm so impressed by her. I really am so impressed by her. But Rose has just, it's one of those things where it just feels like it's been Rose's destiny to get a shot at that title. I'm not saying she will get the title, but I'm saying it just seems like she's ready for a title shot, and she's focused on, and nothing's going to stop her from getting to that title shot. So I actually have Rose winning this fight. I got it going the distance, but I think this will be a really interesting fight. This is a fight, make no mistake, it could go either way, because both of these are very talented strawweights. But yes, I got Rose going in and winning. And then the last fight is also another welterweight fight that is very interesting. There's more fights on this card, but the last one I'm going to review is going to be Matt Brown versus Jake Ellenberg. These are two guys that are two top welterweights, but they're both coming off of losses. And it's one of the, this is one of these fights where the winner actually gets back into the mix, and the loser kind of fades away a little bit here. So these guys, you know, and if you guys have UFC Fight Pass, there's a number of different videos on there showing what Matt Brown and Jake Ellenberg's been doing to train for this fight. These guys have really stepped up their game. They're, in a way, they're kind of treating this fight like it's a championship fight. They both know how important it is for them to pull off a win, because they know if they win, they can get back into, you know, into the mix of things and bigger and higher profile fights. But if they lose, this is really going to really devastate their career. And so both of these guys are really fighting hard. You know, when I look at these and I looked at their training, I went back and watched some of their fights, and both of these guys are really tough guys. And so when I started figuring out who do I think is going to win this fight, I kept going back to Matt Brown. Every time I look at how he's training, and how focused he is, and how he's changed up camps and everything else, he's doing everything he can to make sure he is ready for this fight. And with that, I'm actually taking Matt Brown to win. Another fight that I'm going to give you as a bonus as Francisco Rivera versus Eric Perez. This is another fight where it's going to be a good fight. But I think I'm going to take Francisco Rivera to win the fight. It's just one of those things where it's two guys that, this is another fight that could easily go to either way, but I'm just taking a hunch here and just going with Francisco Rivera. That's my four fights that I'm looking at for the UFC 201. But like I said, and I'll recap again. I got Tyrone Woodley winning with a second round knockout. I got Rose Namajunas, I have her winning with a decision. I have Matt Brown winning. I'm not sure on how I have that winning. I think I got that going the distance. And then I have Francisco Rivera going the distance. I actually hope I'm wrong on that, because that would mean that's you got three fights. You got three of the four fights all going the distance. That's my prediction, but I would love to see more fireworks. When we come back, we're going to touch a little bit on the Invicta FC 18 when we come right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, we're back, and I just finished going over the UFC 201 card, and that's going to be on Saturday. But before that card happens, tonight we actually have Invicta FC 18 fight, with the main event being Grasso versus Escobar, that is. And this is going to be a great card. I'm really looking forward to this, because you're getting to see a few of the fighters that you would not normally get a chance to take a look at. And, we're going to, in the beginning, you're going to look at Jody Escobar versus Alexandra Grasso. I always have a hard time with the names. I apologize. But when you look at this fight, you have a situation where you have two very tough ladies who is going to press the issue. And I could see this fight being nothing but fireworks. I can understand why it was the main event. I would have made this the co-main event. I think there's a couple other fights on here that I think I'm a little bit more excited about, but these two ladies will not disappoint. I have this going to I got to go into Jody Escobar as far as for the win. I got it as a unanimous decision. So that's who I have winning that fight. And then when you look at some of the other fights on here, the fight that I'm most excited about of all the fights is Peggy Morgan versus Megan Anderson. The reason why, and Megan Anderson's out of Australia, Peggy Morgan's from the U.S., the reason why I'm really excited about this fight is because I believe the best fight that can be made in Invicta right now, the fight that I want to see in Invicta most of all, is if Megan Anderson gets through Peggy Morgan, I would love to see Chris Cyborg versus Megan Anderson. Megan has been on a tear. When she came into Invicta, she lost her first fight in Invicta. And a lot of that sometimes is, you know, coming over to the U.S. It's a new, you know, it's a new organization. There's a lot of jitters. And, you know, right out the gate, she lost. But since then, she's been training in the U.S. She moved to the U.S. And every time I see her, every time, she gets better and better and better. And when you go and you look at some of the training sessions and the things that she's doing in training, you look at her and she looks so much bigger and so much stronger. She looks like she's having a great time when she's training. She's enjoying what she's doing. She's on a collision course to be the first person to actually give Chris Cyborg some real competition. This is the fight that, after this fight, if Megan Anderson gets through this fight, I would love to see a Cyborg-Anderson fight. And I've been saying this for a little while. But with this fight, I got Megan Anderson winning with a second-round knockout. Megan's just too strong. Every time, like I said, she gets in the ring, she's getting better. Her kicks are powerful. So I got her with a definite knockout here. Another fight that that's coming on is Duke versus Cindy Dois. And I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be an interesting fight. I got Duke winning that one by unanimous decision. And then another fight that is a must see. We actually had this fighter, and I was saving best for last. We actually had this fighter on our show this week. That's Agnieszka Nijewicz. And I know in the last interview I just butchered her name. So Agnieszka Nijewicz, she is actually going to be fighting Christine Stanley. And if you look at the weigh-in, Christine Stanley came in, and Christine Stanley is a very tough woman. Christine Stanley came in very focused, like she was ready to fight at the weigh-in. I mean, she has her game face on right away. They got nose to nose in the weigh-in. This is Agnieszka's first fight in Invicta, and she's coming off of a bit of a layoff. But Agnieszka is another fighter where when I watch her, and I've watched all her fights, every time she steps in the ring, she gets better and better and better. And, you know, she's ready for this fight. Like I said, if you can go back and listen to our interview, she's very focused, very nice lady. I got Agnieszka winning with a second round stoppage, more likely a submission than a knockout. I think that Christine Stanley's aggression early on is going to get her into a situation where she's going to end up getting caught in like a rear naked choke or some type of bar that's going to actually make her tap. So I actually got Agnieszka Nijewicz actually winning that fight. As a whole, I think this is a really great card. I really, you know, a lot of people sometimes, a lot of UFC fans sometimes miss the Invicta events. Guys, Invicta has some really great fighters. And this card here is full of a lot of fighters that you may not know. But a lot of these fighters are up-and-coming guys. Or up-and-coming ladies, that is. And these ladies will be on the scene and very prominent very soon. So these ladies are must-see ladies here. So I recommend that. That card is going to be on tonight. It's going to be available on Fight Pass. And I definitely recommend that you take a look at it. Now, some other things that we're going to talk about today. We're going to touch on a little UFC news. That's actually, before I get there, I wanted to touch on, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but another promotion is actually having a fight, having a card as well on Saturday, and that is the World Series of Fighting. The World Series of Fighting is actually has a card coming up on Saturday, and you know, and it's going to be Morales versus Hill, and it's their second time fighting. This will be an interesting fight. I will take a look at it. I haven't watched these two fighters fight very much, to be honest with you. So I don't really have a prediction on this one, but I will be tuning in and checking it out. I wanted to make sure you guys knew that that was available. I'll have a little bit more on this fight once I dive in and actually watch the fight. So we'll talk about the outcome of this main event next week's show when we're recapping UFC 201 and Invicta 18. We'll also recap World Series of Fighting 32 as well. One of the things I always like to let you make sure you guys know is kind of like what's been going on. I mean, where the fights are at so that you guys can get a chance to catch them. Now, another thing that I wanted to cover is just a little bit of UFC news. When the UFC announced that they were going to sell the promotion, there's two things and there's two people that I was really worried about. I was worried that the UFC just is not the same if you don't have Dana White. So I was really hoping that they would keep Dana White. And then once Dana White was taken care of, the very next person I thought about, and this was an odd one, was Joe Rogan. But when I think of the UFC, I think of Dana White and I think of Joe Rogan. And I was really happy to see that this week, Joe Rogan re-signed up with the UFC for at least the next year. So I thought the new ownership group was really smart to nail down those two guys, because that's right now, that's the face of the UFC. Now, Joe Rogan's contract, because of, you know, the Joe Rogan Experience and everything that he does, he's such a busy guy. But the thing that I have so much respect for Joe Rogan is this. Joe Rogan, when I first saw him on the UFC, and I remember the very first time I saw him, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And I thought it was a joke. But, you know, anytime you say, you know, it's a joke, or you know, step back and listen, you know, and I gave him a chance and I listened to him and I was amazed. He wasn't just a guy from Fear Factor. This guy knew mixed martial arts. No, he knows mixed martial arts as well as anyone does. I've learned so much by listening to Joe Rogan. I'm amazed by this. And I was a guy that wasn't really happy about him joining the UFC initially. But now he has become one of the faces of the UFC. And I think it was a really smart situation with all the things that Joe Rogan does nowadays. His schedule has gotten kind of tight. And so part of the negotiation was that he won't be doing so many fights any longer. So he won't be doing all the UFC on Foxes and all the, you know, the UFC Fight Pass events. He's only going to be sticking strictly to the pay-per-view events. But any kind of way that you can keep Joe Rogan on the card and keep him for the biggest and most important events, I'm on board. So we're going to have Joe Rogan for at least the next year. I'm very happy about that, because I think that's really good for the UFC and the new sale and everything going forward. So I'm very happy about that. Another thing as far as in UFC news is the fact that Mark Hunt has not slowed down, guys. Since coming off his loss to Brock Lesnar and at UFC 200, you know, initially I was starting to think, when I first heard some of the things that Mark Hunt was saying, I really thought it was kind of like sour grapes, that he was just upset that he lost and he was embarrassed that he lost. But he's not letting it go. He's become the voice of stopping people from cheating and using steroids in the Brock Wars. And he's really been blasting Brock Lesnar. I mean, he has been non-stop blasting Brock Lesnar. But one of the things he wants Brock Lesnar's pay. He wants a portion of his pay. If he can't get a portion of his pay, the other thing he's proposing is that they take his paycheck from him. As a matter of fact, he's gone even further with this. He said that he thinks the UFC should enact a rule that if you test positive for performance-enhancing drugs and you fight, you forfeit your pay. You don't get a penny. And he's saying that that's what would happen. That's how you would really get performance-enhancing drugs out of mixed martial arts. And you know what? I was thinking about this. And at first I was like, no, you can't do that. But he's kind of right. You know, when you look at a situation like he was talking about with Brock Lesnar, Brock got over $2 million for this fight. For Brock, it's one of those situations where if he wins, it brings him nothing but cash. If he gets popped for using performance-enhancing drugs, what does it really do to Brock Lesnar? Nothing. The UFC's not going to, I mean, the WWE's not going to suspend him. He's going to come back and he's going to be a star in the WWE. He's going to use performance-enhancing drugs, use it to win against Mark Hunt, and then if he gets suspended, oh well, he gets to go back to the WWE. So I can understand where Mark Hunt is going with this. The other thing that he's pushing for is he really wants to start putting a union together for the fighters. I think that's pie in the sky. I do not think the fighters will ever come together to do a union. And the hundreds of years boxing was in play, no union ever came about. And I say the same thing when it comes to mixed martial arts. I do not see the fighters, which is unfortunate, but you can never get enough of the fighters together to actually put together a union. But Mark Hunt is ringing the bell. He is trying hard to kind of unite the fighters. And I actually saw a thing where Benson Henderson said, you know what, I support him. I really support him, and I really want if he could put together a union, Benson Henderson said he would be on board. I just don't see, for every one Benson Henderson, there's about 100 other fighters who has not said a thing, and I just don't see it happening. But Mark Hunt is still keeping it going, and he's still toeing the line that on Brock Lesnar, on UFC, on doping. Everything. So that's another big news there as well. When we come back, we're gonna touch on a little bit more about the face of the UFC women's bantamweight division. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about the sale of the UFC, and I'm gonna touch on the new television deal that the UFC has just put together. And I'll explain a little bit more when I come right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, and we're back. And last weekend, everyone knows how, and it's been big news, how Holly Holm was defeated and by Valentina Shevchenko, and how it really changed the landscape of the bantamweight division. And literally, I was thinking about this. The bantamweight division has just been really flipped upside down. And I was saying that earlier this week. When you thought about who's the cream of the crop of the bantamweight division, it was always Ronda Rousey, it was Miesha Tate, it was Holly Holm, and it was Kat Zingano. And all those guys have lost. All these guys have been upset and beaten and are no longer the cream of the crop. There's a brand new big three that has just catapulted themselves to the top of the women's bantamweight division. And for that matter, to the top of the women's mixed martial arts world. That new big three revolves around Valentino Shevchenko, Amanda Nunes, who is the new UFC bantamweight champion, and Juliana Pena. And, you know, the former big three, they're still in it because they all have names. But when you look around and you say, you know, Misha Tate versus Amanda Nunes in a rematch, right now I just don't see, you know, a reason for that fight because of the way Amanda Nunes took her out. Kat Zingano, you know, losing to Juliana Pena the way she did just really takes her completely out of the picture. Ronda Rousey, no one's seen Ronda Rousey. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Ronda Rousey. I will say this. Yesterday, I was on my Twitter account, and I always follow Chris Cyborg. Because she's a good follow on Twitter. And I saw something that Cyborg posted on her Twitter account. And I don't normally comment on things that someone says on their Twitter account because it's sometimes, and especially this is a little tabloidish as you look at things. But it did make me pause for a second. And I look at this and her Cyborg posts, "I keep hearing the rumor Ronda Rousey is expecting and no longer fighting. If true, congrats on the new life." And what Cyborg was saying is, and I've never heard this anywhere, is that Ronda is expecting and that she's no longer fighting. That's kind of what Cyborg had posted. And I haven't seen anything else or anyone else comment on this one. And I'm not, you know, I don't know. So this is strictly just talking about the post that Chris Cyborg posted. But if that's true, that really does change the landscape of the division. Because if you have Ronda, if Ronda leaves the sport and Tate and Holmes are on their, are sliding, you know, you have a situation where these three fighters are about to start having kind of their own little round robin where they're going to fight each other and determine who's the new king or queen of that division. Now, Valentina and Amanda Nunes has already fought before, but as I said in the previous episode, I would love to see that fight again because Amanda Nunes did what she normally does. She starts out fast, and she slowed down the stretch, where just like with Holly Holm, Valentina started out slower, but down the stretch she got stronger, and that's exactly what happened between them last time. And that third round, you know, Valentina clearly won that third round, and I would love to see them in a five-round fight, because if it goes the distance right now, I would lean toward Valentina against Amanda Nunes, which is, you know, that's kind of interesting to say, because Amanda Nunes is a Tasmanian devil those first two rounds. And then you look at Juliana Pena. You could also put together Amanda Nunes versus Pena, and that would be one heck of a fight. These are two very tough ladies. No one's been able to stop Juliana Pena, so I would love to see that. I would be happy to see Valentina Shevchenko against Juliana Pena, but you got a three-way round robin with these three new ladies at the top that I think people are going to get into. And, you know, you have a situation where you could literally have a brand new face of the women's bantamweight division. The last thing I'm going to touch on, and then I'm going to wrap things up, is a little Bellator news. And I look at this as, a good thing, you know, and it could be a bad thing as well, when the new, in UFC news. But the UFC, the not UFC news, but Bellator news. Bellator announced that they just signed Kevin Ferguson, a.k.a. Baby Slice. And if you don't know who Kevin Ferguson is, Kevin Ferguson is the son of Kimbo Slice. And he had one amateur fight, and now he's turning pro. And Bellator signed him, and he's supposed to debut at Bellator 160. And I don't know who's going to be fighting. And I feel like Bellator is trying to capitalize on the name of Kimbo's son. But it's also an opportunity to give Kevin Ferguson an opportunity to actually live his dream and follow his dad's footsteps and actually become a professional mixed martial arts fighter. I wish Kevin Ferguson nothing but the best. I will tune in to Bellator 160 to see him fight. So we'll see how things turn out. So with that, we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I really recommend that everyone tune in Friday to check out Invicta 18. Saturday, turn around and watch UFC 201. And then cap it off with a recording of World Series of Fighting. That's going to be a full weekend because that's what I'm going to be doing. With that, remember, you can always check us out at www.gsmcpodcast.com. That's where you will find my show, the Mixed Martial Arts Show. But there's a lot of other great shows from sports to, you know, books to movies, music, Weird News. Weird News is a great show, guys. Check it out. But there's a lot of great shows on there that you guys would really enjoy. But as far as we go, you can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can always download us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. With that, I'm out, and I'll talk to you later.